Matthew chapter 13, Jesus now going to talk to us in parables. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. The same day when he talked about the unpardonable sin last time we got together and the things that he talked about in chapter 12. He said how important it was to pay attention to him. He said that he, a greater than Solomon was here. He said, a greater than Jonah. He said, the sign I'm going to give you. No sign will be given to this evil and adulterous generation except the sign of resurrection. Jonah, 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of that great fish. The Son of Man will be 3 days and nights in the earth. And he will rise, resurrection, rises from the dead. Now the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. Great multitudes were gathered together to him. They wanted to hear what he had to say. So that he went into a ship and sat in the ship, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Jesus in a ship now, just a little way off the shore, and many, many, many people, multitudes, there to hear what he's got to say. They're standing on the shore. Jesus knew that that water would act as an amplification system. I think he knew it because he invented water. He probably knew that. He created water. God knows what it'll do. Pastor and a friend of his were talking about some important issues, and they didn't want others to hear them, so they happened to be out maybe 40 feet away from the shore, treading water, speaking about some delicate issues. And when they came to shore, the rest of the team said, "We heard every word you said." The water just acted just like an amplification system. So Jesus, there a little bit offshore, sitting in a ship, speaking to the multitudes. And he spoke many things unto them in parables. Parable means, well, the idea is to set alongside. And the way that you would explain that in our language, maybe set alongside doesn't make sense. It would be like to take a tape measure or a measuring stick or a yardstick, something to measure with, and set it alongside this pulpit here to see how tall it is. How does it work? You can get the depth and the height and the width and etc. It's a measuring stick. It's to set alongside to see how it works and what makes sense. And so he spoke to them in parables and he said this, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." Now you all know a sower. That sort of makes sense. Even if you're not farmers, you've seen it happen or read books. And he says, a sower went forth to sow seed, or to sow. Now, we're Christians, but I would believe that you've probably heard this parable before. A sower went to sow, and there he is, out there in his field. You've probably heard this parable, but it does amaze me at how many people have such strange interpretations of what the parable means. Jesus will interpret it for us, so we don't even have to worry about that. He tells us what it means. I know what the parable is about because he had to explain it to me, so there's no doubt at what I'm going to read and what I'm going to understand. Now, his explanation of this parable is going to help me understand some of the next few that are coming. It'll help you too. You'll see what's coming based on his explanation of this one. So he says this, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed," verse 4, "some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls," the birds of the air, "came and devoured them," ate them up. "Some seed fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns had sprung up and choked them out. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. There's the parable. Easy to understand. We won't stop because he's going to explain it to us. "Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Whoever of you chooses to listen, let him listen. Whoever of you wants to understand, let him understand." And the disciples, they came to him. And they said to him, "Why do you speak unto them in parables? Lord, why do you do that?" He answered and he said to them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. So this parable has something to do with the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. You guys, you're around me, you can ask any time. They show up, they hear, and then they're gone, and it's a little different for them. So I'm giving them a measuring stick so they'll understand how to put it together in their heads. See, whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that that he has. For those that have, they'll continue to receive. They'll continue to get more. But there are some who don't. And what little they think they have, it's really taken away. You saw that the birds come and take away the seed from the stuff that the seed that fell on the hard ground. Or the wayside is what is the term used. He says, therefore, because of that, I speak to them in parables, because they seeing don't see, and hearing they don't hear, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says this, and he's going to quote from Isaiah 6, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is grown gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, should understand with their heart, should be converted, and I should heal them. Quoting from Isaiah, he says, seeing they will see, but they won't see. Hearing they will hear, but they won't comprehend or hear. When you read that, if you misunderstand Jesus, if you misunderstand the prophet, you're going to think Jesus doesn't want them to hear this. And that's why he's speaking in parables. And that's what some people teach. He didn't say, I don't want them to hear. He said, whoever wants to hear will hear. And whoever doesn't want to won't. So you put the seed out. I put it in a way that they can grasp it, but they have to want to hear it. Have you talked to people lately about Jesus or about the Bible, and they say, I don't want to hear it. I'm not interested. Can I share Jesus with you? I don't want to hear it, man. What Jesus is saying is they have ears, but they will not hear. They have eyes, but they refuse to see. But there are some of you who want to hear. You say, I want to hear this. I may not understand it, but I want to know. And so Jesus says that person will know. And that's what he's talking about when you see this. Hear, therefore, you hear, those of you who are wanting to hear, he says, you hear, therefore, the parable of the sower. What is the parable of the sower all about? Now he's going to explain it to us, but let me just tell you, you may not know. You may have been taught something else. Now, I am not the perfect teacher. It's not like everything I say is everything that God says. You need to go to the Bible and see. But I can tell you this. This parable has to do with four different kinds of dirt. Four different kinds of soil. And that's what he's going to explain to us. The soil, the one that sows the seed, is sowing it onto four different kinds of dirt. In other words, how does that measure up? You hold that up against the pulpit, you say, okay, it's this tall. You hold that up against us, and what do you see? Four different kinds of hearts. You're going to find that the seed remains the same. Some seed fell on this kind of soil. Some seed fell on that kind of soil. See, the Word of God is the seed, and he's going to say that in a moment, and the seed falls on four different kinds of hearts. So Jesus right away says, listen to the parable of the sower. Let me explain it to you. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, what is the seed? It's the word of the kingdom. It's the gospel that we preach. It's the news that we proclaim. The seed that is sown is the word. When anyone hears that word and doesn't understand it or comprehend it or take it in, well, what happens is it falls on the wayside or the heart that is just hard. The seed hits it and bounces and just lays there with no way to get in. And the wicked one comes and takes it away. So the birds, everybody, this is important to notice, the birds came and took the seed. What is the seed? The Word of God. Who are the birds? The wicked one. Satan and his emissaries, his representatives. They steal the Word away. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. You're going to look at the conditions of heart. There are four kinds of hearts that the seed, when it is sown, that the Word of God falls on. If it falls on a heart that is hardened, the Word doesn't even have a chance to get in. It's hardened and it stays there. And the devil comes and his emissaries, his ambassadors, and steals it away before anything can happen. Some people come to church or listen to the radio, or you're talking to your friends and you're telling them you are sowing the Word. And they're so hard, they just don't even want to hear it. They don't care. Satan comes and snatches it away, takes it away. We're looking at the conditions of the heart. See, the heart is so important. It fools us. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 1. God wants His people to turn. And God speaking through the prophet says, "If thou will return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return to me. And if you will put away thine abominations out of thy sight, then thou shalt not remove." You won't lose your land. You won't be taken. "You shall swear, the Lord lives, in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. And the nations shall bless themselves in Him, and in Him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and don't sow among thorns." What is God telling them? Farm better? He's telling them, your heart needs to be prepared to receive. When the Word is spread, your heart needs to be broken up and prepared to take in this seed. Now, the sower went to sow some seed, and some of the seed, the Word of God, fell on solid, hard rock ground and laid there, and the devil came and took it away. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Prophecy from the Lord. "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord, till He come and rain righteousness upon you." Break up your fallow ground. When we get together on Sunday mornings, Friday nights, whenever we get together, Mondays, we pray and then we worship God. Now, that's not to give you time to get here because you're late. That is to give you need to get here on time, nothing personal. You need to be ready. And when we start to praise, your heart is now being broken up. You're breaking up the fallow ground. Worship isn't preliminary so that we can get people seated. Worship is so that our hearts are getting prepared and broken up to accept. We're going to read right out of the Bible. The seed is going to be sown. It's going to get to your heart. Your heart is now broken up. You're worshiping. You're praising. You're ready to receive the Word. And it's going to get in there and begin to take some root. That's why we worship. Why do we worship after we teach? Most people don't do that. We like to have a short time of worship after because it gives you and I time to let it sink in. Let the Word get in. What did God just say to me? Lord, what about my life? I need strength. I need some direction. Lord, I can see this area is not really right on. What do I do? And you're just, for just a moment or two in silence, or you're singing and praising, it's working its way in. Break up your fallow ground. There's one kind of heart, and Jesus already pointed out, and that is so rock solid that nothing gets in. The devil comes and takes that Word away. There are different kinds of hearts, and we're going to talk about it, but let me give you an example of how it works. You can take two substances. Well, take wax, just a lump of wax, and a lump of clay, go out on a hot summer day, set them out in the heat of the sun and leave them there all day in the heat. What happens? You have a lump of wax and a lump of clay. What happens? The wax melts and the clay hardens, but they're both in the same sun under the exact same heat. My heart and your heart, that's what we're talking about. There are different kinds of hearts, and the same sun hits us, but some of us melt, hopefully. Some harden. And when they're hard, the Word can't get in. Now, that's not a believer. I'm going to tell you right now up front, three of these hearts are not believers' hearts. Only one is. You learn that later on from Jesus in John, in the Gospel of John. And he says this, if you abide in me, there's fruit. If you don't abide in me, there's no life at all and no fruit. In other words, there's no black or white, no middle of the road. You're in Jesus or you're not. And so you'll see three hearts. These three hearts, the first three we see, are not true Christians. They may go to church, and you'll see that. They may praise and worship. They may do all the right things, but they are not truly born again. Now look, the first one you see, hard soil. Nothing can break through it. Devil comes and steals away the word. But he that receives, verse 20, the seed in stony places, the same, that one is one that hears the word and immediately with joy receives it. Hey, I like that. I think that's right. What that pastor said, what I just heard on the radio, what I just read in my Bible, what my friends told me, I think that's true. I really do think that's true. I even like it, as a matter of fact. Yet, he hath no root in himself. Endures for a little while. But when tribulation, I made that up. When tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. That person is not born again. What you've got here is a heart that seems on the surface, okay, the word goes, they think, I like that. Boy, that was a great Bible study. And it gets in, but it can't go deep because right under the surface is a hard surface. So they accept what God said, but it really can't get in and it can't take up root and it can't get any life. And what happens is the sun comes out, a little persecution, a little bit of trouble, they're gone. People say, did that person lose their salvation? The truth is, probably that heart was one of those that the Word of God didn't really penetrate into. The seed was sown. Remember, the problem is not the seed, the problem is the soil. The Word of God is powerful. It's not weak. It works. But the soil. Well, he also, verse 22, that received seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. And unfruitful is not a real believer, as Jesus said. If you're in, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You abide in there, there will be fruit. If you're unfruitful, something is wrong. There's no life. And so what you're seeing is there's a heart that grows in, the way I have it here, is on ground infested with weeds. The seed falls on places that is infested with weeds. And so what the way Jesus says is the care of this world grows up around it. You take the word in, you're thinking, I really want to do this. I want to change my life. I think that's good. I want to start serving the Lord. That sounds right to me. Yet, you want to be famous. Some of you that are single say, I want to get married and I'm going to marry whoever, whenever. That's what I want to do. And so, the cares of the world start to, there's nothing wrong with getting married. It was God's idea. But you got to do it God's way. So, pray about that. The cares of the world come in and they start choking off so no life is allowed to exist. Or another statement that I really like is the deceitfulness of riches. Have you ever thought about how deceitful riches can be? That seems to be what everybody wants. We are right now in the United States, we are worried about our riches. I mean, what's going to happen down the road, not very far? We are really concerned about our riches. Oh, we might be concerned about food, but the truth is, it's much more than food. We're concerned about something, and it's riches. They're deceitful. I read about the king of Siam, Thailand. It's called Thailand now. Siam. And the king is the king in charge. Now, it is true, and you've heard the term, and the term means something to you that it didn't mean to them. Have you ever heard of the term white elephant? Have you ever seen a white elephant sale? Have you ever said, hey, we got a couple of white elephants, they're just kind of under the whatnot shelf there. Have you heard of that? Wrong nation, you've never heard of that. Let's see, go ahead, raise your hand. One person's heard of a white elephant. Good. And he's the assistant pastor. God bless him. I love it when I'm going to use something that you guys have no clue what I'm talking about, because then I know it's powerful. A white elephant. Do you know there are real things as white elephants? They are real. And in Thailand, with the king, in Siam, back in those days, they're still available, but they are rare and they are priceless. You cannot put a price on them. They are super expensive. So valuable. They are almost worshipped as gods. That's how valuable they are. And the only one in those days that could give one away was the king himself. That's how valued and treasured they were. This is true. We've come to learn what a problem they can be. Now, what happens? Just would you be blessed if the king says to you one day, I'm going to give to you a white elephant? That's like giving you a god. What do you do with it? Wash it? Feed it? Take it for a walk? What do you do with a white elephant? Now you see why Americans have white elephant sales. What do you do with them? You take care of them and dust them. They're priceless. Now, if the king hated you, he'd give you one. Because what do you do with it? Spend money to feed it. Spend energy and time to take care of it. And you can never give it away. It's so valuable, only the king could give it away. You give it away, it's death penalty. Now, if he really hated you, you know this is the truth. If he really hated you, he would give you another one. Now think about it. You have two white elephants. Now it's taking your livelihood to keep the things alive. Have you seen them eat? They start the deceitfulness of riches. And the king would give you more and more until finally you were completely bankrupt because you couldn't give them away. Now you see why Americans call them white elephant sales. Because it's something that you're going to dust. It's useless. You can't even give it away. The deceitfulness of riches. Soon, you die. You're choked out. Your whole life is choked out because you've been given that. Riches can be that way. If God has blessed you and you're loaded, metaphorically speaking, of course, then thank Him and use that for His glory. But understand that the cares of this world and deceitfulness of riches can choke out life and you'll never get a chance to really have a true saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. If the world takes over in your life. That's hard soil, nothing to break through, hard beneath the surface. It looks like it's going to take, you're looking to it, but still too hard under the surface. Then there is the heart that's infested with weed, the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. But then there's another. He that receives seed or the word of God into good ground is he that hears the word, understands it, comprehends it, which also bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now you say, 30, what a bummer. That must be a lazy person. Hey, I was just reading where when people plant beans, just beans, they expect for one seed, they hope to get 5, 6, maybe 7 beans from that one bean they plant. And so that's how they figure if they plant 1 acre, that's how they figure how many bushels they expect to get from 1 acre or 2 or 3. And that's how farmers plan their whole outfit. Now, you're talking 5-fold, 6-fold. They're hoping 6 and 7 and 8-fold would be tremendous. God says 100-fold, 30-fold, 60-fold. That's a lot of fruit in a life because the heart was broken up, the ground was prepared, the word, the seed was sown, and it grew up, and the fruit that's produced is unbelievable. That's the heart you want. You don't want a hard heart. You don't want a heart that accepts the word but then isn't willing to go any further than that. You don't want a heart that is choked out by wanting to be famous or popular or wanting to have your way or the deceitfulness of riches. You get the white elephant soon, it chokes out your very existence because you can't do a thing with it. It's got you instead of you having it. Then there's a heart, the fourth soil. Good ground. What did God say through prophet Jeremiah? Break up your fallow ground. What did God say through the prophet Hosea? Break up your fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord. Every time you get together to worship and to praise, to do Bible study, you want your heart to be ready and prepared so that when the word goes forth, it gets deep into your heart and fruit is produced. There's growth there. There's real life. What are we talking about? The power of the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. And the seed is not the problem. The soil becomes the problem. How's your heart? We need to break up our fallow ground. When you share with others, share the Word of God. Now, we have a tendency, we do, let's admit it, I mean, we're all this way. We have a tendency to try to make it sound better. And so when we start to quote scripture, he that doesn't accept the Lord will be burned forever and ever, and the smoke will rise up. We hate to say that. And so we try to say, if you don't accept Jesus, it's not too good. We don't want to use the word bad, because that sounds bad. Now let me just do a real quick, I know you've probably heard this scenario, but it does make sense here. You want to speak the word. When you sow the seed, speak the word of God. Now let's pretend that we're all on an airplane, a jumbo airplane, 747, the big ones. And we're headed for Europe, and nobody knows why, but we're pretending. It's not expensive. Well, because we're pretending. And we're about 3 hours outside of the East Coast, 3 hours over the ocean, with about 3 hours over the ocean to go. And the pilot calls one of the stewardesses. I could never figure that out. It doesn't matter. One of them persons, and into the cockpit, and they close the door, and the pilot says, "We've got a major problem. We've got a fuel leak in the fuselage somewhere. We can't find it, but it is leaking at a rate where we have about 30 minutes left in the air. Now, we can't go 3 hours back, and we can't go 3 hours forward. We're going down." Now, so the stewardess doesn't want to panic anybody. You know how they are. You know how we are. We're all on the same plane. So, wiping that fear look off her face, closes the door behind her and says to everyone, "Ladies and gentlemen, we've got some parachutes here. And parachutes have been known to really make this flight much more smooth." It's true. I know maybe you've never worn one, but parachutes will make this flight a lot more smooth. Sometimes we hit little rough spots, and so is there anybody here that would like a parachute? That's what some I hear talking on the radio today, and some preaching. That's how they preach this. And, we'd be going, "Parachute, I don't know how to use one. I don't know what they're all about. I don't understand parachute. And I don't feel like the flight's that rough, to tell you the truth anyway. I'm not interested." But maybe me and you would raise our hand. "Okay, I'll take one. If it'll make it smoother, let's give it a shot." And we put the thing on, and you can't fit in that seat under normal circumstances. Now you got this huge parachute. You're sitting forward, and the person in front of you has to lean back, don't they? It's a law. Whoever sits in front of me must lean back because they look and say, "Yeah, his legs are long. Watch this." Queer. God puts them there. It's just to make me, keep me humble. So now you're leaning forward. Your nose is smashed against the seat in front of you, and this thing is back there. You don't feel very good on. You're thinking, "I'm not sure this is really making that much smoother, to tell you the truth." And all of a sudden, it begins to be cumbersome. You can't sit in the seat very comfortably now, and you couldn't to begin with. You can't even sit upright. You can't even put a tray down to eat peanuts or put something on because it doesn't work. This is, I think she lied to me. It's not smoother. And not only that, look around you. The others that don't have the chutes on seem to be doing their peanuts. It doesn't look okay. His legs are long, but it looks like he's doing better than me. He's sleeping. This is stupid. And then others around you begin to snicker. Oh, politely, "That guy looks miserable. He looks miserable." He does. And then people begin to out loud make fun of you on the plane. "Look at you. You got to be miserable. That looks uncomfortable, Bob. My goodness, I'm glad I don't have one of that." And you find, in fact, listen closely, that the flight is not smoother at all because of that parachute. Matter of fact, the opposite is true. It is more difficult now than it was before you had it on. So what do? Take the parachute off, throw it in the aisle, and get comfortable. What happens? The plane goes down and everybody dies. What are you telling people when you tell them the Word of God? What are you telling them? Are you telling them the truth? Let's change the scenario around here. Well, wait a minute. Before I do that, let me read to you John 16:33. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." I don't think it's supposed to be smoother. I think the opposite is true as a true believer. Look at this, Acts 14, 21, 22. When Paul and Barnabas had preached the gospel to that city, taught many, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Much tribulation we should be expecting. Should we be looking for a smoother flight when we come to Jesus? Well, come to Jesus. You'll always have money. You'll never be sick. Every day will be just like paradise. That's like saying, well, this will make the flight smoother. Take this parachute. Jesus, Paul says to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, 12, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Do you think we're supposed to be looking for a smoother flight? Someone's lied to you if you think this is supposed to be a smoother flight. Now let's change the scenario. Let's pretend that stewardess, that person comes out of the cockpit and says, ladies and gentlemen, I have some news that's bad news. We are experiencing a fuel leak. We don't know where it's coming from. We can't get to it anyway. We have about 30 minutes left in the air. We can't go back. It's too far. We're not going to make it to where we're going. But we have parachutes and we will be able to jump to safety. Who wants one? How many do you think then would take the parachute? I would. I'll give it a shot. Burn over here. And I wasn't promised this flight would be comfortable. As a matter of fact, I don't expect it to be comfortable from here on out. We're going down. But you put it on and you put up with that, don't you? Because when the time comes, the doors are open, everybody with a chute jumps out. Maybe cold water, but someone will come and get you. But those who don't have a chute will go down. Wouldn't it be the right thing to do to tell the truth in love? To tell this is what Jesus is all about. He died for the sins of the world. All we like sheep have gone astray. You have sinned, I have sinned, and come short of the glory of God. But He will forgive you because He paid the price if you will come to Jesus. If not, the whole plane that we're in is going down and you will suffer destruction. Anybody want Jesus? And if you're telling them the truth, some, Jesus says, will hear. There are four kinds of hearts. There are the hard hearts, nothing you'd get through, and Satan comes and steals it away. There are the hearts that are hard right below the surface. They take it in, yeah, but they don't really want to go for it and make changes. There are the hearts that are infested with weeds. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke them out, so there's no chance of true eternal life. There's no chance of really coming to Jesus. And then there's a heart that is broken up, ready to receive whatever seed God's sends their way, and they grow and they produce fruit. The life we live is not meant to be a smooth flight. There is peace, there is joy, but the truth is tribulation will come, persecution will come. We're to preach the gospel to every living creature. You will sow the word by sharing at work, sharing at school, sharing at home. You will say, this is what the word of God says. You don't have to be mean. But the best thing to do is to tell the truth. People say to me, I like what you do. You just tell it like the Bible says. How could I not? You just read it out loud. It's not like I'm doing something special. I'm so brave. You just read it. That's exactly what it says. We can't get away from it. That's what it says. You know, the Bible says that the smoke from hell for those who suffer for eternity rises up forever. We don't like to say that. So we can just go, it's not real pleasant if you don't come to Jesus. Hey, tell me if there's a fuel leak. Tell me. Because then if I know the truth and you offer me a parachute, I'll take it. If you tell people the truth and that they have ears that want to hear and you offer them the free gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ, they'll take it if you tell them the truth. And another thing about preaching the gospel, a mine caved in, a big mine collapse. Seven men were trapped inside, down deep in that hole. They could not see a thing in front of their face. Pitch black. And they were in there hoping, encouraging one another, talking with one another, although they couldn't see. Just saying, someone will come and get us. And the rescue workers worked feverishly, digging night and day. In about 3 days, they were able to get to these seven men to rescue them. And so there was yelling, and they were thrilled, and they were clapping. They were excited that they were rescued. And one of the seven says to everybody, he just yells out, well, I'm glad you're here. Why doesn't somebody turn a light on? He had been blinded by the fumes and the crashing. But they all were in such darkness, nobody knew who was blind until somebody shined a light. The other six looked at him and said, "The lights are on." There were seven in there. None of them could see. But when the light was shown on them, one of them could see he was blind. How do you know? You have to shine the light of Jesus Christ. The light of the gospel has to go out so that others can see. They're blind and they need some help. Do it in love, but share the word of God. Tell people there's hope. See, the plane's going to go down. It's not going to make it to the other side. It's going to go down. Some will have Jesus Christ and some won't. Tell them the truth that they might hear and have an opportunity to see Jesus. In your own heart, in my own heart, four kinds of soil, four kinds of hearts. You put the clay out there and you put the wax out there. The wax will melt. The clay will harden up. We want hearts broken up. Because when God rains His righteousness on us, that rain come upon that heart, the seed that's been taken root in there, and fruit will be produced. 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. And God will receive all the glory. That's where we have to stop. Remember to read your Bible. Remember to share. Share the Word of God. Remember, the seed is good. It's the different soils. You're not responsible for the soils of others, but your own heart. Break up your fallow ground. Let's pray together. Father, we ask of You those kinds of hearts. Hearts that are sincere. We want to do Your will. Sometimes we don't know what it is. Sometimes we're not understanding. But Lord, we have ears that want to hear. Eyes that want to see. Hearts that want to comprehend. And You said, if anyone that has an ear, let him hear. We want to hear, Lord. And we're reminded that we want to share in love Your word, Your truth. Let our hearts be broken up, that as Your word falls upon our hearts, it falls deep into our hearts and takes root. Thank You for life, Lord, and allow us to hear as we worship You. In Jesus' name.